your fingers tired?
Yes.
Okay, then let's rest.
Not really.
And would you be free from your burden of sin? There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Would you worry while a victory win? There's wonderful fire in the blood. There is power, power, wonder, power in the blood of a man. There is power, power, wonder, power in the precious blood of a man.
Break every
every chain, break every chain, break every chain, O sufficient.
O sufficient sacrifice, freely given, such a price, our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide.
Thank you. It sounds beautiful. You just need to sing up just a little bit louder. Okay?
Thanks, Dad.
The people want to hear you.
Because people want to hear you sing. I'll probably be a lot of thumbs up right now after I said that. Yep, there they go. I really have enjoyed this portion of sheltering, singing with my kids, Bo and Bailey and Anya, and being a part of this time has been so special to me. In the midst of our trials and storms of life, there's always a part of the storm, like the eye of the storm, like the song says, that God puts us in, and He's just got the rest of those moments when He gives them to us. Amen.
Thank you.
lot of stuff going on around us, and it affects us in different ways. I just want to encourage you to read Psalm 138. Make that your prayer. Psalm 138, make that your prayer. I just read it earlier. His hand will reach out and hold you fast. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being in there, dear God. And God has His best for us, and we don't always know what that means. His best might have a different story for each one of us. And His best at the time may not seem like it's a really fun time going, but His best is for you. Just walk in that moment, okay?
Father, first of all, I do thank you for all of these that have graduated and are moving on in their educational process or in their life. Lord, would you encourage them and minister to them? Would you meet their needs and provide for them? Lord, would you help them to find jobs or make that transfer from one classroom to the next? Lord, would you encourage them and help them to continue to be a light to the world as they please and honor you? Father, I just ask you would be with us this morning as we hear from you, as we spend time in your word, as we listen to the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, again, I pray that you would invade every single living room that's tuned in to this message. Let your Holy Spirit work and flow and touch and change and encourage and just meet the needs of your people right where they are at, Father God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for all the blessings you continue to pour out upon us. And I ask, Lord, that you would now be with us this morning, that you would be glorified and honored in this portion of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started talking about the words of a wise man. And the overarching thought or theme of that was the fact that words have power. What we say, how we say it, when we say it, they all contribute to the effect that those words have. See, words can provoke anger. They can bring up the feeling of resentment or pain. They can cause devastating effects in people's lives, even to the point of being the cause of another person's death. Words can also encourage and uplift and strengthen and heal. They have power. Of course, the backbone of those words is truth and speaking truth. See, slander and gossip and lies have no place in our speech whatsoever. We shouldn't even be sharing information that we know, truth that we have, unless we are given the okay to share that information. That's part of our responsibility to one another. The wise man's words also need not be many, but a few wise words spoken can be a far greater good, can do far more for people than a whole novel of misguided opinion can. One of the most difficult things probably that we talked about last week is the idea of taming our tongue, which James talks about in his book. How we must be careful weighing out our words before we just allow them to slip from our lips. It's incredibly important to think about that. So if words have power, which indeed we know they do, how are we using that power? Are we using it to build each other up and encourage each other? Or are we indeed using those words to tear others down and destroy? Proverbs 12:18 was a verse we ended with last week. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, the book of Proverbs, we know, outlines for us what a wise man looks like. And I want to clarify this again. We've talked about this before, but the book isn't necessarily laid out to give us instruction on how to gain wisdom. Because wisdom truly comes from one source, and one source alone, that is God. God gives us the wisdom that we need. When we ask for it. James, again, tells us that in the first chapter of his book. Ask for wisdom and he'll give it to you. We also know that wisdom starts with a holy, godly fear. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Today we're going to continue to look at the words of the wise and how they should be seen in our lives. Now, I think it's pretty safe to say that many of us get into the most trouble or find ourselves in the most difficult spots when we tend to speak without thinking. We just allow those words to come flowing from our lips. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Once words have been spoken, once they have left our lips, there is no taking them back. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do or go through, people spend a lifetime trying to undo the things that they have said to other people, especially if they have been said rashly or in a moment of haste or anger. There is a great deal of wisdom that is displayed when people stop and think about their reaction before verbalizing it. Proverbs 15:28 tells us, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Proverbs 17:27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Those words we just read in Proverbs 15:28, the fact that the heart of the righteous weighs out its answer. Can you get a visual image there of a balanced scale? Not too heavy on one side or the other, but an even balanced scale. That's really what it should look like when we weigh out our words. It's not wrong to respond to a comment. It's not wrong to have discussion on a topic. It's not wrong to even disagree with the viewpoint of another person. But that comment, that discussion, should be one that is even, one that is peaceful, carefully thought out, and weighed. Not just a dump of words. When that happens, that tends to run the conversation into a tailspin of hatred and pain. Perhaps the hardest part of weighing our words out is changing our perspective. Not saying we change how we feel or what we think, but just change the way we take a look at things. See, we don't always have the right viewpoint. And when we learn to look at things from different perspectives, we tend to get a different mindset on some things. Sometimes we need to take a look at what's right in front of us and change our perspective of how we are looking at it so that we can get the full image, the full understanding of what is happening or going on, the complete picture, if you will. Then maybe we can understand how words that we thought were acceptable can actually hurt others, can actually cut others deeply. In fact, whether we realize it or not, there are many words that are acceptable today that were not acceptable when you and I grew up. And the opposite is certainly true as well. I know I used words and phrases growing up that were no big deal, but today they are considered extremely offensive. One who is wise will look at their current environment, the situation they are in, how things are perceived and understood in their current community, and they will learn to think about things a little differently before expressing the words that they might normally express. I read another verse in Proverbs chapter 17. Let me reread it this morning. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Are our words always even tempered? Again, I must confess this morning and honestly tell you that my words are not always evenly tempered. In fact, people can usually tell when I have a pretty solid opinion about something. It comes out in me whether I want it to or not. That's something I have to be aware of. The wise man will be even tempered in his discussion, in his words, even in his opinions. The wise man will learn not to say too much or cause arguments, cause or say things that cause others to react harshly, to incite those other discussions or arguments that might come about. These couple of verses in Proverbs can be summed up with an old adage that I'm sure we've all heard before. Think before you speak. Allow those words to run through your own mind and through, hopefully, a filter that helps us to understand what we're about to say before we say it. Proverbs goes on and talks about the concept of a gentle answer in chapter 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you have watched any of the news over this past week, which I am sure most all of us have seen some of it to some degree, there are all kinds of examples of what Proverbs is talking about seen in that news over this past week. We maybe can't always hear what's being said to one another in some of those images, but if you take a close look at the person that is talking, or in some cases very obviously yelling at another person, and then you suddenly see the person that's being spoken to erupt in anger and attack that other person that is doing the speaking, you can begin to see what some of these proverbs are talking about. Now, we're certainly not interested this morning in justifying any of those actions. But what was said to that person? How was it said to that person? Was it a gentle answer, or was it a harsh word? Based on some of what we've seen, I think it's safe to assume that many words that were spoken were very harsh words, and they provoked some of the responses that were received. Again, not justifying or saying the responses were right or wrong. I'm asking us to think about how the words were presented and what they brought about. Because on the other side, there was also examples for us to clearly see this past week. There was much video footage of people that were engaged in quiet, humble expressions of concern, even apologies. I saw many examples of people hugging and talking peacefully with one another. So it leads me to believe that those words were words spoken in love, in peace, in encouragement. They were gentle, kind words that were shared with one another. Again, both of those responses reflect what we read in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Would we rather be known as those who put out words of peace and encouragement? Or would we rather our words be outbursts of wrath and anger and resentment? Again, don't misunderstand any of this. I'm not defending anybody's perspective or their wrong viewpoints or their anger. That's not what I'm doing. I'm asking us to think about the words and how they were presented to others. Also, don't misunderstand this in this concept. As believers, we are told to correct and rebuke and encourage others. But remember, we are told to do that in love. And that has got to be the focal point of how we correct, rebuke, and encourage. In love. And not coming from a voice of our own opinion, but coming from the truth of the Word of God. We're also told to preach the gospel truth to others, not allowing the enemy's deceptive words to drag us down or pull us away. So we are told to share God's truth, but at the same time, we are called to be peacemakers. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Truly, the concept we need to understand or grab from that particular verse is where it says, as far as it depends on you. Each of us have a duty to ourselves to be peacemakers. And of course, all of that lines up perfectly with what Proverbs tells us about being wise. We have a responsibility. We have a job to do, so to speak, in presenting our words in such a way that they do not fuel hatred and discouragement, but come across as loving and peaceful words. We have a part in speaking gentle words that are carefully weighed out. Our part is to quench the quarrel, not fuel the fire. Hot-tempered, rash words are not an option for the wise. There's another perspective again here to take a look at. Because as calm and as gentle as our words have been instructed to us to be, they can still be very persuasive words. Proverbs 25:15. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Let me reread that. 25:15. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Of course, this is not about physical violence or abusing somebody, but it's an expression once again of how powerful our words can be when they are spoken appropriately. Even as we speak or launch those words gently, when they are spoken appropriately, they carry with them a great weight that can speak to somebody deeply, and how important it is to do that in a timely manner. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 15:23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. There's another lesson we can learn. It's in the book of Matthew. He also talks about our words, but he tells us about where our words come from. And it too is a lesson we need to understand clearly this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the second half of that verse. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, it's not about just taming or controlling our tongue. It's not about just using gentle, even-tempered words, but it's about where our words come from. They come from our heart, and they slip out of our mouths. So what does that mean to us? It means that what we put into our heart, what we put into our lives, matters greatly. Because what we put in creates our inmost desires, our inmost thoughts. And what is in us eventually comes out of us. So what do we put into our hearts before it erupts and comes out via our lips? Proverbs tells us to fill our hearts, fill our lives. Think of it this way. Think of your heart as a storage tank for your words. Fill that storage tank with godly, wholesome, encouraging words, and that's what'll come out. Fill it with other stuff, and that's what will come out. Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. what we take in has a great deal of effect on what we let out. We can only use the words that we have stored up in that tank called our heart for us to be wise and effectively display that gentle wisdom in our choice of words. We must fill our hearts with the right thing. The words of God, the gentle, loving instruction that He has for each of us. Simply said, if it's the world that is influencing us and shaping us, then it's the world that is going to come out of us. But if it's the Word of God that fills our lives, we can know that there will be wise words that overflow our hearts and burst forth from our lips. One last reflection of the wise man for us to ponder this morning. This one is not directly related to a man's words. However, it can have very significant influence on his words, especially if the wise man is not cautious. And this is in regards to the companions of a wise man. Who is it that the wise man keeps as a confidant, as a friend, as an influencer in their lives? You know, and that's a word that we've heard a lot more of these days. There are a lot of people who claim to be influencers today. Social media is full of them. YouTube is overflowing with them. In fact, in many cases, it's their job title. They are called influencers, and that's the job that they carry with them. Of course, most of them are self-proclaimed influencers, but they do a good job of grabbing people's attention. These are the people who may or may not have very much experience in the area that they're even influencing others about. But somehow, some way, in our current society, they have been elevated to that level of influence. Are they the people we should be taking our cues from? Are they the individuals that we should just allow to fill that storage tank of our heart? Maybe. Maybe not. We need to think about the companions that we keep. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. See, the path to wisdom comes as we walk with the wise. Who are the wise? Those that fear the Lord are the wise. We have clearly talked about that. We have clearly seen that in all of our discussion. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What else does that wise man look like? Everything that we have been talking about the last few weeks. Wise men, wise women are those that understand their humble position, especially as it lines up with the Lord in their lives. The humble are those who seek guidance and direction, those who learn to seek out righteousness. People that are wise are ones who accept input from others and listen. They are not unwilling to hear what others have to say or run from sound advice. The wise are ones that learn to control their anger, and they do not stir up dissension. The wise do not spread gossip, slander, or other malicious talk. The wise do not rely on their own knowledge, but they trust the Lord with all their heart, even if things don't make absolute sense at that given moment. The wise know that their ways, their understanding is far less important when compared with God's plan. The wise man learns very quickly, I might add, that the words that flow from his lips are of utmost importance, that those words have the power to bring about life as well as death, and that those words flow from the storage tank of their heart where their true inmost desires lie. So if one wants to grow in wisdom and be a wise individual, they must learn to walk in the company of the wise. The influencers in their life must be those that exhibit these characteristics of wise people, wise individuals. See, you cannot grow wise if you spend all of your time in the presence of fools. Paul writes some compelling words about this when he wrote to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says this: "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." There is no way good character will ever develop in a person's life if they associate solely with fools. Bad company corrupts good character. If our heart is setting on finding and growing in wisdom, then we must choose to walk in the footsteps of the wise. We've spent the past several weeks now talking about what a wise man should look like according to the book of Proverbs. And again, I tell you this morning, this is not a gender thing. I'm using the word man as mankind, as human beings. It's not gender specific. Men and women receive wisdom from God. We've spent a lot of time talking about it. But in all these weeks that we've talked about it, we have only scratched the surface in regards to wisdom. Do we know that there's in the neighborhood of 200 some references to wisdom and wise throughout Scripture? Better than 25% of them, a quarter of them, more than a quarter of them, are found in the book of Proverbs alone, telling us what a wise individual looks like. Many of those remaining scripture references simply refer to somebody as being wise. But if you want to know what wisdom's like, if you want to know who it is you should be following and walking with so that you can gain wisdom, look in the book of Proverbs. Is it outlines it so very clearly for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. And as we hear from him and draw closer to him, we learn to walk with him in the shadow of the wise that have gone before us. I encourage you to keep digging throughout the book of Proverbs. dig deeper on this subject if you want to know and understand more about wisdom. It's important that we become the wise characters, the wise individuals that God has called us to be. There is absolutely no question that our world, our nation, our towns, our communities are in desperate need of those wise individuals at this very moment. We have a responsibility to share with and to encourage others. Even in the midst of all the chaos that is erupting around us, we must continue to be the wise individuals that God has called us to be. And He will give us wisdom to not only stand in, but to walk through the chaos that has started this year, 2020. We're 6 months, we're almost halfway through this year, and a majority of it has been wrapped up in the pandemic. And now all this discussion about racism and riots and protesting, and it's been an incredible year so far, but God will see us through. And He will give us the wisdom we need to take every step, every day, if we learn to walk in the ways of the wise. And He'll do that even if we don't understand everything that is happening or why it is happening. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And of course, James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. When we ask God and we truly seek that wisdom, He will pour it out upon us. Even, James chapter 1 tells us, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, ask for wisdom and God will give it. There's no question that we need His wisdom today. Any of us that call ourselves born again Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, need to be seeking Him for the godly wisdom that our lives so desperately need each and every day. Lord, we come before You this morning. God, and I stand here on behalf of Sanctuary and our church and our family, and I ask, God, that You would give us wisdom. Lord, every one of us need wisdom in a little bit different area of our lives. It could be finances, it could be health, it could be jobs, it could be education. Lord, it could be in just our day-to-day actions. Lord, I pray, Lord, as a people chosen by You, serving You, God, would You give us wisdom? Would You pour it out upon Your people, Father God, that we might honor and glorify You and You alone? God, help us in the days and the weeks ahead to mind our words carefully, to think before we speak, to weigh out our reactions. God, I pray that that storage tank of our heart would be filled with Your peace-loving, caring, gentle, merciful words, so that those would be the only things that would be able to spill over from our hearts through our lips. God, help us to glorify You and to walk in the wisdom that You have called us to walk in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great week in Jesus' name.